Emerge Community Church podcast. We pray that the Lord would use this resource to speak to your heart and that it would bring you defiant hope and joy in whatever season you're in. We hope you enjoy and are encouraged by this message.
He's in our midst. He's here. He's working. He's working in you. He's promised to be faithful to complete the work that he started in you. Part of the completion is happening right here, right now. As you open your heart to him, as you receive him and his work is being done in you right now. He's bringing it to completion. Wow. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for the reality of your presence. Your presence changes us. Your presence is life. We need to be transformed by your presence. Change us, Lord. Transform us to become more like your son, Jesus. Keep working, Lord. Keep working. Thank you, Lord. Whew. Wow. I know feelings are subjective, but I really feel his presence right now. Just resting upon us. He's so good. He's so faithful to us. His love is so enduring. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As we go forward in the rest of the service, just remain in an attitude of openness to him in whatever work that he wants to do in your life right here, right now, this morning. In Jesus' name, don't check out. Don't flip the switch. Remain open. Remain receptive. Remain yielded. Well, we're going to go ahead and dismiss the kids. Kids, how about you guys walking out this morning like ducks? Can you guys do the duck walk? Nice. Nice. I'm thankful for these people up here on the stage who are used. Who are used of the Lord, you know, who are doing their best to be yielded and to allow the Lord to work through them to help lead us into the presence of God. You guys did an outstanding job this morning. In that regard, thank you so much. Okay. A little while ago, a few weeks back, I had the opportunity to visit one of my grandson's classrooms in his school. And it's kind of cool. They have, I think they have a couple openings that you can sign up for, you know, to come to the class, and one is like a reading session where you can come and if you have like a book or something that you want to read to them. And the other one, they call it Career Day, and that is if you're related some way to one of the students, you can come into the class and you can talk about what you do, what your vocation or what your career is. So I thought, oh, this is cool. I'm Roey's granddad. I'm going to come in and, you know, I'm a pastor, you know, have been pretty much my whole life. And so it was great. It was great. You know, we had a great time, you know, with those kids and shared some things about, you know, my job or my ministry as a pastor, and they had questions. It was just a great time all the way around. But toward the end, we needed to be wrapping up because it was the end of their school day. They needed to be going home. And I think the teacher might have asked me, you know, Pastor Majeski, do you have anything, you know, that you want to say, like a final word, anything that you think is important that you want to say to the kids? And it was just kind of off the cuff, you know, it just kind of, okay. But it just jumped into me, you know, right when she asked that. And I said, kids, I just want to tell you the most important thing ever for your life is that you receive Jesus into your heart and receive Jesus into your life. Thankfully, you know, this is a Christian school too, so I'm so thankful. Like, all my grandkids are in Christian school. I'm so blessed by that. It's great. So the most important things, kids, is Jesus in your life. And then second to that, that really goes along with it, is following what he wants for your life. Not just believing him to be your Savior and Lord, forgiving all your sins. One day you'll be headed for heaven. Thank God for that. But following his will, what he wants for your life. So somehow I feel like this morning that I'm supposed to share the same thing with you guys, but maybe expound just a little bit more than I did with those school kids. So this morning I want to talk to you about having a radical passion for God's will. Amen. You know, Jack's been hanging out here for quite a while, you know, talking about radical passion and how that translates into many different aspects. But a while back, Jack and I were talking, you know, I said, I don't know, man, I feel like I have this thing about a passion for God's will, doing what God wants for our lives. And you guys, I can't even tell you why, but it seems like as long as I've been a Christian, as long as I've had Christ in my life, there's been this thing in me that it's my heart. I just really want to do his will. I want to follow what he wants for my life fully. And I tell you, sometimes it's probably gone into unhealthy places, even though it's a right desire. And what I mean by that is, I've gone into a fear of not doing God's will for my life. And I know this morning we sang about the fear of the Lord, but you know, it's almost like I'm just afraid to miss what he wants from me. I'm afraid to step outside his lines for my life. And again, I suppose if you move into certain areas that could be an unhealthy thing, because, you know, he doesn't want us to be afraid, yet he does want us to have the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is the thing in you that says, not my will, but yours be done. You are God and I'm not. You know, we were just singing that song. A lot of times I just found myself changing the lyrics and I sing it, you are God, I am not, you are sovereign. I like reminding myself, Mike, you are not him. You're not qualified to try to be him. He's higher. He's better. So I just really like reminding myself of that. So anyway, I've always had this thing in me. Lord, I really want to do your will. And Lord, at any time in my life, if I find myself moving away from your plan and purposes for my life, Lord, please alert me. please bring me back into sync with you. Anybody else have that kind of in their heart? That's your desire. So that's what we're talking about this morning, having a radical passion for God's will. And as I said to the kids in the classroom that day, there's nothing more important to you. Let me just say it like this. There's nothing more important to you and to God than you choosing to follow His will for your life. And the reason is this. It's really rather simple when you think about it. He never made you to live apart from Him. Just think about that for a minute. You were never made to try to live apart from Him. He made you to live in cooperation with Him, not independent of Him. Isn't that where we get in trouble? Man, we're all alike. He made you to live in sync, to be synchronized with Him and His purposes for your life. And I tell you, and I can tell you from experience, when that's not happening, life just isn't right. Nothing's going to be right. We can try this, we can try that. You always hit a wall. It's never right. You're never satisfied unless you're synchronized with His will. But how do we even know God's will? You say, okay, that's one thing to want that. How do you know God's will for your life? We could talk about a ton of things this morning, and I don't want to drill deep into that. That's not what I have in my heart, but I just want to mention this quickly. I think there are two primary ways available to all of us to know God's will for our life. Number one is the Scriptures. Everybody say the Bible. The Bible is God's will for you. Never forget that. Never try to circumvent the Scriptures. If the Bible, if the Scriptures are saying something to you plainly, don't try to side skirt that and say, well, I'll pray and I'll maybe talk to some people and kind of see what else, you know, is an option. No. Never circumvent the Scriptures. And then the second main way, I believe, is prayer. Prayer meaning, I mean, it's a big word in the general sense, us communicating with God personally. Like, how many of you sensed you were doing that this morning as we were worshiping? Were you in communion with Him? Was your heart getting synchronized with Him this morning? Man, mine was. Yeah. So the Scriptures and prayer, again, there's so much we could talk about, but there you go, right there. Never forget those. You know, last week, Jack talked specifically about praying in tongues. Those of you who are with us, remember that? Praying in tongues. Or the Bible refers to it as praying in the Spirit. It's praying beyond ourselves, praying beyond our mind, praying beyond our own reasoning, right? It's praying from the Spirit, not from our mind or understanding. Now, I'm not saying it's not wrong to pray from your mind or understanding. Jack quoted that verses last week from Corinthians. Paul said, well, what should we do then? Well, I'll pray with my mind, but I'll pray with my spirit too. I won't just pray with my mind. I need to pray with my spirit. Why? Because when we pray in the Spirit or pray in tongues, you know what? You take you out of the equation. Do you think it's remotely possible that when we pray from our mind, what we have in our mind, that we could actually be praying the wrong thing? Any of you ever think you've prayed wrong prayers? Prayers that are not in line with what He wants for your life? Oh, I'll put both of my hands up. But here's, man, I'm telling you. See, you can pray the Scriptures, and that's super safe, right? You know that's the will of God, so that's a value of praying the Scriptures. But praying in tongues, you know that you're taking your mind and yourself out of the equation because it's not your mind that's praying, it's your spirit by the Holy Spirit. And you know what? One day the light bulb turned on about this, and here's how it struck me. When I pray in tongues, it's literally God talking to God through me. How's that? There's a prayer you can't screw up. I'll take all of that I can get. You can't mess that up. It has to be the will of God that you're praying, because it's not you, it's not coming from your understanding, it's coming from your spirit by the Holy Spirit. It's coming from God, going to God. Whew. Man, think about the privilege that he's given us to be involved in that. Oh, man. It's good. God's will is being prayed when we pray in the Spirit. Okay, I didn't want to take too long there, but let's go on. I want to take a look at Jesus and how he viewed God's will for his life. You say, well, it's not even relevant, because, come on, we all know Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is God, so that totally puts him in a different category. Well, yes, as God, that puts him in a totally different category, but you know what? He was just as much man as you and I, as well as being God simultaneously. And let me say something to you. As he was born into this earth and walked and lived his life, he did it not as God, he did it as a man. So, how did Jesus view God's will for his life? By the way, just a little heads up, I'm going to try to be led here as we go along, but we're probably going to hit a lot of scripture today, okay? But I promise you, we're not going to get bogged down in it, okay? But I just feel the need to attach what I'm saying to scriptures, okay? So stick with me on this. It'll be good. How did Jesus view God's will for his life? Let's start looking at some of this stuff. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5 through 7. It says, consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, when Christ came into the world, when he was born, when Christ came into the world, he said something when he came into the world. This is kind of interesting. Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired. He's speaking to God the Father. But a body you have prepared me. Isn't that wild? In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, this is still Jesus speaking when he comes into the world. He says, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. I'm going to just move quickly through these and just let them speak. John 5, verse 30. Jesus said, I can do nothing on my own. Now, does that sound like God talking? Would God ever say that? I can do nothing on my own. Are you kidding me? He can do anything, right? There's nothing impossible. Well, this isn't God talking. This is Jesus, the man talking. I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Think about that. Jesus, while he was here, he is very interested not in doing what he wants, but in doing what God wants, the Father's will. Let's look at another one. John 8, 28 and 29. So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. Wow. I do nothing on my own. I always do what pleases the Father. And then, you know, another picture that I see of Jesus yielding to the will of God, wanting to do what God wants, what the Father wants for his life, and not go his own way, is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Many of you have read that. This is the night before he's going to die. And the Bible describes him in this night, in this time of prayer, in the garden. He is in agony. I think there's so many things that we could conjecture. I think he's starting to feel the weight of what's coming. I think he may even in the spirit be starting to feel the weight of the sin of the world coming upon him. He knows what he must do. He's the sacrifice. He's the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sin of the world. But in the garden, I'm so thankful that his prayer, at least some of it, is recorded for us. We know what was going on with him in that moment. And in that moment of agony, and he's struggling, he says this. He says, he cries out, "Abba, Father. Abba, Abba. Not my will, but yours be done." This was the heart of Jesus as he walked this earth. His cry right there, the whole time that he walked the earth, "Not my will, but yours be done." Even when it meant literally laying down his life, which he was just about to do the next day. By the way, we'll come back to Abba a little bit later, okay? Probably. Okay. Let me say, as followers of Jesus, how many are a follower of Jesus this morning? Okay. As a follower of Jesus, maybe you haven't thought about it in this particular way before, but I'm going to help you think this. He has certain expectations of you. Jesus has certain expectations of us as his followers. Say, "Well, Mike, what are those expectations?" I think it's pretty simple. He expects us to do the same thing he did. I'm not talking about going to the cross and dying for the sins of the world, because only he was qualified to do that. But in the sense, his heart to follow God's will for his life. Amen. Nevertheless, "Not my will, but yours be done." Jesus expects us to have the same heart and to do the same thing that he did. Live our lives in submission to the will of God. He's our example in all things. I like to say it like this. Jesus is the prototype for all of us. You know what I mean by that? He's the prototype. He's the first. He's the example for all that follows. He's a prototype of a man living as God intended, in sync with God, like we were talking about. Look at some things Jesus said to his disciples about this. Look at Luke chapter 14, verse 25. "Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children, and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple.' Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Here's some expectations that he has for his followers. I know it's heavy. "So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." Let me paraphrase here. Jesus is saying, you must die to your self-life. You've got to renounce all that you have to be my disciple if you're going to follow me. What a huge ask. I mean, come on. How are you feeling about that right now? How are you feeling about those words? Is that a big ask? Is it really worth it, though? Is it worth doing what Jesus said? Renouncing all? Totally laying down the self-life? Is it worth it? Look at Matthew 16. "Then Jesus told his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. By the way, when he said take up his cross, he wasn't talking about his cross. He knew about his cross. He had his cross. He's not talking about that. He's saying to his followers, you take up your cross. And you know what? When he used the word cross, everybody knew what that stood for, death. So Jesus is saying, hey, you want to follow me fully? You got to die. You got to die to self. Quite an ask. But Jesus said, deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now here, look at this. Here's the worth it part. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Amen. Laying down the self life is the only way to his true life. You can't have both. You know, the scripture Jesus said, you can't serve God and money. You can't serve self and God. You can't at the same time. You're either doing one or the other. Think about it like this. How many believe you're saved? How many believe that you've received Jesus and your sins are hallelujah? Salvation costs you nothing. It cost him everything. It's a free gift. The Bible says it's a free gift. You don't work for it. You can't earn it. It is a free gift. And he wants you to freely receive his love for you in salvation. But following Jesus and God's will for your life costs you everything, according to Jesus. It costs you everything. What an ask. It's surrendering the self life in exchange for his life. That's the only way to his life, is surrendering yours. Can't have both. Can't live both at the same time. And honestly, I you know what? I know these are hard words to be hearing this morning, but I believe God's behind them. He's doing a work in us. It's a good work. It's a good work. Honestly, I don't think there's such a thing as kind of following Jesus. I really think it's an either or. Yep. At any given time in our lives, we are either following him or we are not following him. Yep. We like to invent the gray areas. Well, I feel like I'm kind of headed in the right direction. Yeah. Look at what else Jesus says. This is Luke 6:46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? He is Lord. He's my Lord. Oh, yes, Jesus. Yeah. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Something's wrong. They're incompatible. How about this one, John 14? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You know, the eye doctor that I went to, I had cataracts removed and lenses implanted. It's awesome. I don't have to wear glasses. It's so, some of you guys who know me a bit, you know how excited I was for that to happen. Anyway, so I actually got to, through the process, I got to become friends, strangely enough, with my eye doc. And we actually met up for a coffee, and we got a lot of things in common. One thing is Jesus. He's a Jesus man. He's a Catholic. But he is a true Jesus man, I'm telling you. Loves Jesus, loves the scriptures. And we have some political commonalities too, you know, that we enjoy talking about. But anyway, so anyway, because of our little relationship that we struck up, you know, we kind of communicate a little bit and talk about stuff, and he's talking about, oh, you know, here's this book, you know, I think it would be good for you. So I go, sure, you know. So it's a book, and I feel kind of actually good about this, kind of like branching out beyond my normal scope of Christianity, you know what I mean? Like I said, this is a Catholic brother, but he is a Jesus man. I know that for sure. So he refers this book to me. It's written by a Catholic priest, okay? And it's called You Shall Stand Firm, Preserving the Faith in an Age of Apostasy. So I thought, yeah, sure, you know. So because he's my friend, I'll. I'm telling you, I start reading through there, and I'm like going, this is real. This is truth from God. Now, sprinkled in there are Catholic doctrines, you know, that I'm like, well, okay, not so much. But I'm telling you what, and let me just encourage you. Just because somebody doesn't agree 100% with your theology or what your thinking is, doesn't mean you can't receive something good. Don't limit yourself, okay? Because God, there's so many different ways God can speak. So I got this book and I'm reading through it and I'm just, my heart is like witnessing with it. I'm going, yes, yes, yes. So anyway, I want to share just a little quote here. And how about this? I don't think I've ever done this in my 47 years of ministry. I don't think I've ever quoted a pope before. But I'm going to quote a pope this morning from this book because he's quoting him. Pope John Paul II. Here's his quote. Every day dedicate some time to conversing with God. How many of you think that's good?
Yes.
Amen, Pope. This is the sincere proof of your love for him. For love always seeks to be near the beloved. Now you're preaching, Pope. This is why prayer should be put before everything else. Whoever does not understand this or does not put it into practice cannot excuse himself by saying he has no time. He has no love. How about have him be a guest speaker? I think he's probably long gone, but here's another quote, not from the Pope, but from this book. Do you claim to love God? Question mark. Do you think you love God? In essence, God challenges us to prove it. True love always desires union with the beloved. Yeah. Okay, Devin, come on up, bro. Devin, I'm going to have Devin come now because he has a little piece to add in here that he shared with us not too long ago that fits right in with this. Come right up here, man. I'll step aside for the big man.
All right.
He's going to share. Okay? He's going to share. I won't take in. It should be on.
Yeah, it's on.
Yep. And then after that, he's got a wonderful testimony of healing to share too. So you get a double two for here, two for one. Okay, go ahead. Go for it.
All right. And try not to let you down here.
No, you're good.
Yeah, so this actually does fit in perfectly. Mike told me it would, and I believed him, but now I really believe him because about a month ago now, a little over a month, I was watching a podcast, you know, the long forms that they put up on YouTube, and it was about two and a half hours shared with me by my mother-in-law, and it was someone interviewing a prophet, and this prophet had the ability to kind of see into the spiritual realm. I believe that to be true, that there's people out there that are born with these gifts. From God, where they can see angels, demons, and they can see them just like we're looking at each other right now. And so many of the things he was saying helped to clear things up for me. You know, that's how I kind of gauge whether or not am I believing this person? You know, is this really helping me, or is it pushing me further away into unbelief? And everything he was saying was just kind of hitting me, like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. Well, he's also had the opportunity, this prophet, to speak with Jesus on numerous occasions during his life. And one of the things that jumped out and hit me right in the gut is he was having a conversation with Jesus, and he's like, I'm going to ask him what his love language is, you know, because mine's, you know, physical touch. I love giving hugs. Jesus loves giving hugs. It's probably the same as mine, you know. It's probably the same love language I have. And so he asked Jesus, he said, hey, what's your love language? And he said, Jesus just looked right at him without skipping a beat and just said, obedience. And I was like, whoa, it hit me right in the chest, you know, because that one's not in the book. You know, I know for a fact that one's not in the book. And Buddy gave a sermon a couple years ago, and he encouraged us to pay close attention when something jumps off the page at you, if you're reading your Bible, or if you hear something that really jumps out at you. So that was something I just kind of put a check mark by, like, well, wow, that's I need to be more obedient because God's speaking to me through that some way, somehow. And so as I listened to the podcast more, they started talking about prayer and the power of prayer. So to stop right there for a second and tell you about my healing testimony, it all comes together. Is in 2016, I herniated a disc in my lower back between L4 and L5, and I just became the guy with the bad back. You know, I just subconsciously started to believe that. I did every exercise, every stretch, saw every chiropractor, I got shots, I took every supplement, I did every lower back program that was on the market that you could buy and fix yourself. And nothing worked. And I was going through a bad spell at this time, which is one of the reasons why I was watching this podcast in the first place, is I was in about day 9 or 10 of just having a flare-up. You know, that's the best I can explain it is, you know, and I know I'm probably preaching to the choir here for some people, because there's probably people sitting down right now that have back pain as I'm speaking. Brian, I see you. We'll pray for you, buddy. But when you have a herniated disc and it's just pushing on a nerve, it's crazy how much that affects your entire life. Like trying to put the worst was putting socks on and shoes in the morning. You know, I'm only 36 years old, and I was like, everything I could do to try and lift up my foot and get a sock on it. And then I'd have to sit down and try and get my shoe on my foot. And then I'd have to go work all day, you know, manual labor. I'm in construction. So it was just like just a grind getting through every day. And my wife kept telling me, you know, you need to go to the chiropractor, you need to schedule something, but there was just a knowing that that's not what this is. There's something else going on here. And I've spent so much money on that stuff, and it has not worked. And so I was just praying a lot, but I was praying in my head, you know, asking God to take this away, telling him that I trust him and we have authority. So back to the podcast, I'm listening to the podcast after I had the obedience gut punch, and the prophet was talking about the power of praying out loud. And Mike has spoke about that before, and using our sword, using the scripture, using our words. And I just felt annoying in that moment that I need to stop this podcast right now and pray out loud for my back, because one of the things they were talking about is how there's angels and demons around us all the time, but they don't have the authority or the power to hear the thoughts in your prayers. God's hearing your prayers if you're praying quietly by yourself, but if you're not saying it out loud, the angel that's trying to protect you and the demon that's trying to afflict you are not hearing that prayer. And so I paused the podcast, and I just started praying over my body, and it was a prayer of conviction. That was the biggest thing that changed for me. Was I had prayed a lot of prayers of hope, and hope is a good thing, but it was more like, I've explained it like buying a lotto ticket. Like I would say a prayer, and I'd say, you know, I believe I can be healed, but the chances are I'm probably not, but I'm still going to do it, because if I do it enough, you know, maybe I'll win the lotto someday. This was a different prayer. This was a prayer of knowing that this ends today. Like, this is going to be done after this. And I just, that's how I can explain it the best, is it was just a knowing. It wasn't a hope. I knew it. So I was praying, you know, Jesus, thank you for the authority. I cover myself in your blood. This house is covered in the blood of Jesus. I can't tell you the exact prayer, but I knew Jesus said we are the light of the world, and I knew darkness cannot exist in the presence of light. It doesn't have to work to overcome it. It just needs to be there. And I knew that whatever demonic stronghold I had made a covenant with and believed that my back is just, I'm just that guy, I could break that off. And I knew that this is going to end today. You know, I just knew it. And so I said about a 2-minute prayer, got some goosebumps, but didn't feel anything. And then push play, and watched another 30 minutes of that podcast, and I almost forgot in that 30 minutes that I even said the prayer. But at the end of that podcast, they said a prayer at the end, and I always bow my head, you know, to pray with them. And when I looked down, I realized that whenever I look down, I feel a tug on my back. Like, it's just a little bit uncomfortable. It's not excruciating, but I looked down and nothing was there. And I looked up and I looked around the room and I'm sitting there by myself. And I stood up in my living room and I reached down and I grabbed my right foot, no pain. Grabbed my left foot, no pain. Reached down, put my hands flat on the floor, stood up, no pain. And I was just, I don't want to say I don't believe it, but in that moment I was looking around saying, I can't believe this just happened to me. Like, my pain is gone. 9 years of just being, not having a perfect day, just having good days and bad days, it disappeared in that moment. So it's been over a month now, and I held back on this testimony. I've just been standing on that because I knew I was healed. I haven't had one day of back pain since that moment. And so I just want to encourage anyone here that's dealing with physical affliction, you have authority over that. You have power over that. There's blood covering this entire congregation, and we are the light of the world. And Jesus says, or God tells us in the Bible, that he knit us together in our mother's womb, and he made us perfectly the way he wants to make it. So if you have a covenant with a demonic stronghold that you just believe this is just how I am, I really encourage you to use your words. Use the scripture. If you don't know how to pray or what to pray, it doesn't matter. Say the Lord's Prayer. Jesus says in the Bible, pray like this. That's got power. Just do that one, and you will be, he will work in you. I don't want to say you'll be healed immediately because I don't know the timeline. I don't know what he has planned for you, but I know for a fact that we have authority over that. So thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hold on. Okay, let's just do this right now. If you're here this morning and there's sickness or pain in your body and you don't want it to be there, stand up. I'm going to have Devin just speak a word. We talked about this earlier, you know, so I'm not totally putting him on the spot here. But just as you're led, Devin, you know, just whatever to speak, whatever, you know, the name of Jesus, taking authority, whatever. I'm not going to try to put words in your mouth, but just... Whatever's in your heart for these people that are hurting or sick, God doesn't want them to be that way, and I Absolutely. Know you believe that, so go for it. Go for it.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We just love you so much. Jesus we know name. That you've given us the authority over these afflictions, and we just Jesus are name. So grateful. And our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Yes. We set you apart. You are holy. You are apart from us, Lord, and nothing is impossible for you.
Yes.
And I know that when we say, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, yes. thy will be done on earth as is in heaven, I truly believe that the same laws that govern the heavens work here on earth. We may not be able to see the spiritual realm around us or the things afflicting us, but I know for a fact the words that come out of our mouth have power because you told us they have power.
Yes.
And again, we are the light of the world, and darkness cannot exist in the presence of light.
Yes.
So we cover this congregation in your blood.
Jesus,
we bring light into this room and any demonic stronghold that may exist inside anybody here. We just burn you off now. You cannot exist in the presence of Jesus. You are no match for him. And we just thank you, Lord, for the authority, and we trust you. We trust you with our health. We trust you with our life. We lay it down for you, Lord. Thank you so much for the healing. Thank you in advance for the healing. We know this to be true, Lord. In your name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Devin. Appreciate it. Amen. Yeah. Keep your faith turned on. Pardon? That he was talking about? Maybe you could, he'll get you hooked up there. Okay, great. All right. Okay. I feel like I was kind of wondering, do we just keep going a little bit here? Can we keep going a little bit?
Yeah.
Not going to wear you out. Okay. Or I just hesitate to unhook and then try to hook back up again next week or something. I don't know. Of course, I haven't talked to Jack. But anyway, let's just keep going. It won't be long. Okay. I believe Jesus is very actively working in his church today. And I believe what he's doing is a serious work. It's not a light thing that he's doing. I believe Jesus is drawing a line in the sand and forcing the issue about where we stand with him. I believe by his Holy Spirit, he's convicting, unsettling, see if any of this fits, unsettling us, making us uncomfortable, asking the tough questions. Has he been asking you any tough questions lately? He's 100% committed to us, working to present to himself his bride, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. My question to you this morning is, how do you view your personal obedience to God's will? Could you bring that slide up, please? I want you just to see that. And I just want you to open your heart and ask yourself, how do you view your personal obedience to God's will right now in your life? Are you radically passionate about following him fully? Are you all in, no matter the cost? Or, if you're honest, are you treating this as something optional in your life? Kind of a sideline, maybe. I think it's worth asking this super uncomfortable question that makes us squirm, because according to the Bible, one day we must all give an account to him. Look what 2 Corinthians says. 2 Corinthians 5 says, so whether we are at home or away, he's talking about whether we're still in our body or away in heaven, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Now, on a more positive note, and I'm serious about this, you'll see what I'm saying here. It is positive. It's wonderful. And because it's a heavy thing that we've been talking about this morning, I know that. Tough questions. Makes us uncomfortable. Where are we at with him? I want you to realize you have help. You are not on your own in this pursuit of passionately pursuing his will. After all, God wants you to experience his will way more than you do. So he is here to help you in every way. As you seek to follow him, let me just say it to you, let me just relieve you, there is no condemnation as you're following him. Everybody say out loud, no condemnation. Say it to somebody. Say no condemnation. Tell them, no condemnation. As we seek to follow him fully, there's no condemnation along the way. We will trip up. We will fall. We'll fall short of his expectation. But I've got some wonderful news for you. His love and grace are ever extended toward us. Oh, this is just so good. Philippians 2, look at what the word says. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. There's some working out to do, folks. There's some working out that needs to be done in our lives. There's some effort on our part. But look what it says here. For it is God who works in you. Who's working in you? It is God who works in you both to will and to do, or to work for his good pleasure. Man, I love that scripture. That's saying God is so committed to me. He loves me so much. He wants me so much to be following his will for my life. He's doing everything possible to help that along. He's put his spirit within me. He'll help even with the desire. He'll help to stir and put a desire in us to go that direction, to follow him, and to live a life that is pleasing to him. And then Galatians 2:20, almost done here. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Get it? I have been crucified with Christ. When he was crucified, I consider my old self crucified with him. I died with him. I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We're not doing it on our own self-efforts. We're not trying to do it in our own power. The key to living a life that's pleasing to God is getting your self life out of the way and letting the Jesus life live through you. There it is right there. Christ in you. It's no longer, Paul said, it's no longer I. He didn't even consider himself alive. Paul is dead. Christ is alive in me. And I'm doing my best to give way, to yield, to give place to the Christ life living through me. Isn't that good? All right. Galatians 4:6. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, I told you we'd get back to Abba. Oh, I said we probably will. But we did. We made it. We made it. Everybody say Abba. The prayer Jesus prayed in the garden. In his time of struggle and distress and duress and agony. What's the struggle? To keep on course, to follow the will of God, not to go his way. And in that moment, he cries, not just Father, Abba, Abba. Some of you will remember a while back, Jack shared a great insight with us about the meaning of Abba. Do you remember? It wasn't too long ago. I'll refresh you real quick. It's a Bible word, but it's still used in certain cultures today. The common understanding, and many of you know this when we say Abba, this is what triggers. The common understanding is it's a term of endearment, right? It's like a kid saying daddy. That's true, but not the whole picture. Oh, this is good. It carries a twofold meaning. It carries with it the thought of intimacy, but it also carries the thought of obedience. Only a child can use it. Only the child of the Father can use Abba. But only an obedient child can properly use it. It's not just, oh, daddy, daddy, daddy. It's like, daddy, whom I will obey. Daddy, who I am submitted to. Daddy, who, when he says something, I do it. I'm submitted to his will. Are you getting it? Abba. That's the cry of Jesus in the garden. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? Why do you call me Abba? Same thing. Same thing. In his greatest agony, he cries Abba. Intimate? Yes. But more than that, it's a cry of complete submission to the Father's will, no matter the cost. This is the same Spirit God put within us. The same Spirit that caused Jesus to cry, Abba, I submit fully to you. It's the same Spirit that's in us. I told you, he's doing everything he can do to help us along in this. Well, here it is. The same Spirit. It's in there. But we need to stir it up. Maybe it's been buried by all the distractions of this life. In our self-desire, maybe we need to repent and acknowledge the Spirit that cries Abba is in our hearts. Maybe we need to realize that the frustration and lack of fulfillment and satisfaction in our lives is because we've been living the self-pleasing life rather than the God-pleasing life. I'll use this last scripture as a benediction. Stand up with me, please. Let me just speak this scripture over you guys this morning. I believe God's been at work all along this morning in our gathering. From the time that we began, he's still working now. Let him keep working in you. Let him. Do you want to let him keep working in you? Put your hand up if that's you. You're willing. Yeah, that's me, Jesus. Keep working. Keep. I'm not perfect. I goof up. You know that. He knows that. He doesn't condemn you. He wants to help you along in this. I'm speaking this over you this morning. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Lord, we thank you so much for your commitment to us. Keep working, Lord. Keep helping. We receive your grace. We receive your grace, Lord. We need your grace. We cannot do this alone. We receive your grace. You are with us. You are with us to walk out the Father's will for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. We hope you leave here closer to the Lord and encouraged in your faith. If you would like to support our ministry, you can go to themergecc.com and click on the donate button at the bottom of the screen. Thank you and God bless.